And welcome back. Another edition of Tony Talk here on Scoops with DannyMac.com. I'm Fox 2 Sports Director alongside the Hall of Fame manager. We love our sponsors. We appreciate them. Victory Men's Health, now with two locations, O'Fallon, Illinois, and the newest in Town and Country. More information, victorymenshealth.com. Triad Bank, a bank started in St. Louis in 2005. They're on the web at triadbanking.com. You can find them in Frontenac right there on Clayton Road. And Greenville University, not far from St. Louis at all. Great education just up the road, greenville.edu. And then there's Marie Davila, the home of Red Shanians for many years. They've got the blue fountains going, and boy, the town buzzing about hockey. And Tony, lo and behold, who's in the Stanley Cup Finals but St. Louis and Boston, a couple of cities that you know well. I know you're going to give me a tied for first, but this is kind of cool, isn't it? Both the towns that you know well playing each other?
Well, I think it's the best in the sense that, I think getting into the finals or the World Series or, you know, however they term it, is such an accomplishment that should be celebrated. I know each city wants to win, each fans, they want their team to win, obviously, and they should. But to definitely enjoy the fact that they're in it, there's only two teams playing, and it's going to be tough because, definitely have more of a history with St. Louis. I usually pull for coaches in these things. If I know the coach, I pull for his team, and I really don't know either of the teams very well, but I do have a history with the Blues, and I think about Waino and Yachty and what fanatics they are, and then I think about, my friends that I work with in Boston, how they feel about the Bruins. So I much enjoy both teams being in there, and whoever plays the best wins, and I just congratulate both teams.
Now, I may have overstated, but I said last night that Molina ordered the rain so the game would be canceled so that he and Waino could have a box and could be at the game. He's got a lot of juice. That might be exaggerating it a little bit. We've talked in recent weeks about him being a passionate hockey guy, but when I think about Boston and St. Louis, I said, all right, now for Tony, this will be a tied for first, and it got me thinking about that expression. When did that become part? I think Elaine, one time, you made me imitate you in front of your family, and I used a couple of legits and tied for first, and she said, he says the same crap at home. When did tied for first become your thing?
I'd say probably early on with the White Sox. And you just get so ingrained that, what you do is pretty simple. If you think about all the distractions potentially you get into your coconut and but what you're really thinking about is the game that you're going to play, two teams, a score, a winner and a loser. I mean, that's really what my life has been since, especially since managing. Because you really feel responsible. If you lose, it torments you, and if you win, you enjoy it. So somebody walk up to me during the day, man, hey, how you doing? And I would just be honest, it really depended. It had nothing to do with the weather. It had nothing to do with anything except the final score. And you say, hey, I feel great. And you go out there and your team plays like junk. And you think, well, wait a minute, this is not great. It's terrible. So it's been going on for almost 30 years.
Now, I know you play golf. Did you ever play hockey? And did any other? You grew up in the Tampa area, so I'm guessing no on hockey. What other sports? You were a phenom in baseball. What else did you play?
No, I was one of the nice things about my childhood. I was raised around Park, first in Ybor City. It was a place called Cascade, and then our family moved when I was 10 years old to West Tampa, and there was a place called McFarland Park, which is right back, down the alley, and there it was. So I played, my friends, we played them all. We played basketball during the time. We played, I didn't play a whole lot of football until I got to junior high school, and I played quarterback a little bit in high school my sophomore year, and I broke my toe, and they said, look, you got a baseball future, don't play anymore. So baseball, basketball, and football, I played them all.
What kind of quarterback? Were you running? Were you throwing? Were you in the wishbone? I mean, this is going back. Did they have the forward pass when you played?
Yeah. Actually, that's an interesting question because they played the wing tee at my junior high school, which was West Tampa, and Coach Ursel was famous for grinding them out, disliked the pass. And I came along, and, I only played just a little bit. Somebody showed me the grip where you could throw a nice tight spiral and introduced me to the coach. And so he put me in there and I played quarterback and threw. We had a great running back named Nick Bruno, And if you threw him a screen pass, he ran 60 yards for touchdown. So, yeah, I might have had five or six touchdowns in those six games we played, eight games. And it was all because of Nick. So then when I went to Jefferson, the JV team, I was on it. And early on, broke my toes. I sat on a quarterback sneak, and that put me out. And I didn't play my last 2 years because, really, at that point, I think I started being identified as maybe having a chance for a professional career. And the football coach and the basketball coach came to me and said, look, Tony, why don't you just concentrate on baseball? Because I did have a back issue where, a lot of, I had a sway back, and a lot of jumping in basketball gave me a sore back, and that kind of plagued me in baseball too. But that's, a long-winded answer, man. But that's, I played them all, and I enjoyed them all.
And on my to-do list, I've written it down in the past, find Tony playing the cymbals back in grade school. Now I'm going to, I got to dig up, does RF have any pictures of you playing football? I'm wondering where I got to find a picture of you playing football or basketball.
Basketball, I didn't play anything. And when I got to Jefferson, I didn't play because, my back wasn't in, because my sophomore year was, like I said, broke my toe. And then when it was time to play basketball, I wasn't healed. But I played, intramurals. We were a member of a key club, and we had a nice basketball team. But it'd be hard. You really don't see me in shorts.
I have to give proper credit. I'm at the Blues game, and I'm walking in the concourse, and the guy's walking by real quick. But he said, hey, love the Tony talk. And as I just kind of keep going, hey, great, thanks. And he said, ask him if he played hockey. So I have to give credit. Whoever that was that said that last night, shout out to them. We joke about tied for first. But when you went into Cooperstown, there was debate. Hey, is he going to wear a Cardinal hat? Is he going to wear an A's hat? Going to wear a White Sox hat? And I know you pretty well. It wasn't a political decision. You weren't trying to appease people. It was out of respect. Did you get a lot of guff for that? I mean, I think some Cardinal fans were disappointed, but you wanted to be fair to all three organizations. How tough was that call? Because I think that's the classic tied for first.
No, that's a great point. I mean, it really hadn't come up very much at all since 2014, Martin, but it was a very difficult decision just because the initial thing from the hall was, look, you make a choice, or we'll choose for you, and then kind of pushed it and said, well, they thought there's really a thing here where technically if you go in no logo, and then it was just, when you try to look at your career and you're thankful, I said many times, I was the most fortunate guy that ever managed because every place I managed, there was an outstanding owner, outstanding front office, and we had, and they had really understood the value of coaching. So, they went out and allowed us to bring in a great coaching staff, and they got players. So it started in Chicago, it goes to Oakland, you go to St. Louis. Where do you want to acknowledge one and disrespect the other two? And I said, look, I can't do it. In fact, I do know for a fact that Bill DeWitt was disappointed, but the character of the man, and I'm sure Billy DeWitt felt the same way, that the character of the man realized that down deep they knew I gave everything I had for all those 16 years, I don't know if they would say they supported my position because I think they'd rather have me with an STL up there, but. I just chose. It was the right thing to do as far as I was concerned. There's no way I could disrespect Oakland or Chicago. And I was catching a lot of heat about it until January when Greg Maddux went in. He said, hey, I'm going in with no logo because I don't want to disrespect the Cubs. And then after that, nobody talks about me. They just talk about Greg.
Does the hall sort of lead the conversation? I think Gary Carter was famous because he wanted to be a Met, and they said, we really need an Expo. I'm loosely paraphrasing, but do they weigh in on that?
Yeah, I think they, they try to be smart and fair, and what they don't want to do is have a player sell the logo to a team he might have played a year or two with, and go in there and just because of the team promises, look, you'll be our Hall of Famer and it'll be lucrative for you. They want to try to avoid that. But they just try to be as fair as possible. Now, in the end, the plaque, it really, kind of a side view, so you really don't see the fact that there's not a logo. I thought it was, the way they designed it was really smart.
during the game six for the Blues on the Jumbotron. They had a lot of great clips, former players, St. Louis personalities, you know, the John Hamms of the world, and Chris Long makes an appearance. But David Freese pops up there, and they show the game six home run, Joe Buck's great call. And then Freese, he taped a clip for him, and he said, you know, I love me a good game six. And he starts leading the Let's Go Blues cheers. It was a great moment. And it had me thinking about that game six. And Freese is the hero forever in this town. Lance Berkman doesn't get mentioned ever. And then Josh Hamilton, for a second, had the Rangers winning. It may not have been the perfect game, but, boy, the classic moments late. I just wonder, because you knew you were retiring, when Hamilton homers or even late in that game, do you think, boy, this could be it? Take me through some of your emotions, because there were so many different late-inning drama, you know, a lot of late-inning drama where things kept changing.
Well, to get that far, you know, I was just feeling like I was part of a visit to Fantasy Island, just because, you know, 32 games left, we were 10.5 behind, and I certainly didn't think that we had a realistic chance. And as we made the run and we got closer and closer, just thinking, wow, and at least we're playing for something that means, or not just playing the string out. So to get in the last day and then play against the outstanding Philadelphia Phillies and have that series in game five, and all along you're thinking, man, I just struck it rich. Everything is house money. Just keep betting it, you know. And then we go to Milwaukee and we have that series, and then it looks like it's going to end. I mean, I'm sure our fans remember the way game six started. We had a very sloppy, you know, we had two or three errors. I think we had three errors. In fact, David missed a pop-up, they had a couple. So it really was not a well-played game. And then all the dramatics later on, it was a team that showed itself actually all year long, because we had so many bits of adversity with guys getting hurt and struggling, and the team just had this amazing will to win. I mean, I love that team for the guts that it had and the way they played that last 30 games and then the whole playoffs. So I really felt, getting down to the end, that, you know, against a really good reliever like Feliz, two down, it didn't look good, but I knew, and the guys were yelling. I remember Carpool said, hey, we're not going to lose. And he was just yelling in the dugout, and guys were just screaming, yeah, let's finish this. Let's finish this. We can do it. And all of a sudden, you get a little rally here, and Albert's double, and I'm just there watching it. I mean, there wasn't any strategy, man. I'm just cheering like our fans were and like our bench guys were. And it was an amazing down deep. When you know this is it. You know, if the Rangers win, it's all over. I'll give you one thing that never been talked about, and this would be a good thing for Tony Talk. We can put this as a first. When I told Bill and Mo in late August, as we got to the end, Bill was really concerned that there would be no way to say goodbye to the fans. And so I said, look, as long as we're playing for something, you know, I really don't want to be a distraction. So we had really decided with about 2 weeks to go that, look, if it comes down to we're out of it, whenever we're out of it, that maybe that last Sunday before we go to Houston for the three, we'll make an announcement, so at least, because I really felt, I agreed that, you know, it would be not appropriate to leave and never have a chance to say thank you to the fans. So we were going to do something maybe that last Sunday after the game against the Cubs, where it was made an announcement, you know, and I could say thank you to the fans, and then, you know, they could, some could cheer, some could boo, whatever. And it really came down to even that last weekend, you know, we were down by two, and we were just, we just decided, look, as long as we got a fighting chance, we just cannot distract by announcing that I was leaving. And I'm amazed that, you know, it stayed secret. You know, I didn't tell anybody except McKay and Duncan, and of course my family. So it was surreal, really. The whole run was surreal, and the significance of, you know, if we didn't win in Houston and we were out and so forth. And so by the time he got to game six, man, I mean, I'm thinking, what a ride. This is magic. But one last thing. I know you mentioned to me we might talk about this, and I want to bring up this point. It just shows to me, you know, coaching is so important in baseball, in any sport. You know, the players are the sport. They're the ones that are out there, you know, competing and going through all the difficulties. But outstanding coaching makes a big difference. And in David Freese's case, if you remember against Philadelphia, he punched out a bunch of times his first, you know, five or six at bats. And then in a hitting session in the cage with our hitting coach, Mark McGuire, Mark gave him a tip about getting his front side down so he could, you know, speed up his bat. He was also hitting with Alan Craig. And that one tip got David going, and then he took it from there just like a great player would. But without Mark's coaching, I don't think David's moment would be there, neither would our championship. So I think about that. I think about it all. I think about David. I think about our team's guts, and I also think about the value of coaching and how happy we were to get Dave Duncan back for the playoffs and the job of Kendo and McKay, and we just Bettini. I mean, Fantasy Island, man, to this day, it's Fantasy Island.
And during October of 2018, I think, you know, Frank Cusumano and I were talking on the radio, and now Freeze ends up on the Dodgers. We know they're going to be in the playoffs, and I said, just wait for it. He'll have a big moment here or there, and he just keeps doing it. I guess there's certain guys that can just kind of handle that pressure, and especially being a St. Louis guy doing it here, it just seems like he's got the clutch gene.
Yeah, he's really a special individual. And I know he had some demons there that he fought for a while. But I was just reading yesterday the first baseman for the Pirates is having this huge year, and it was a number one prospect and had a big rookie year, and then he slid last year. He talks about the influence of David Freese, and David talked to him and said, look, this is what I suggest that you do, which was take 4 months and go to California, dedicate yourself to working out, eating right, and he's come along. He's got like 14 home runs or something. He's been a great, you know, he's getting his talent to where it's, you know, it's star production. And the guy that he gives credit to for waking him up and putting him on the right road to success is David Freese. So there's a lot to David. Just like, I mean, he was, you know me, man. That team was full of David Freese's and Chris Carpenter's, and just like 06 with, you know, David Eckstein. You know, you had Albert and Yachty and, you know, Scott Rowland and all these guys and Jim Edmonds. You have a team full of guys like that. I mean, it's the sky's the limit.
All right, we'll come back. Your questions for Tony here on Tony Talk Scoops with DannyMac.com. One of our great sponsors on Tony Talk, Triad Bank, the neighborhood-friendly bank located in Frontenac on Clayton Road. They're just west of Lindbergh. Real easy access off Highway 64. Get to Lindbergh, and you are there. Founded in 2005, wide range of commercial and personal banking services. And how about this? They actually have people behind the counter, people there ready to greet you, ready to help you. Business owners looking to expand, talk to the bank based in St. Louis. Those decisions are being made here. How frustrating is that? You're trying to get a loan for your business, and the decision is made in New York or Los Angeles, not with Triad Bank. You can find out more at triadbanking.com. Home equity lines of credit, 5-star rated bank, $360 million in assets. Check them out, triadbanking.com. Since 1960, serving the families of St. Louis, Marie Davila Senior Living. At the corner of Clayton and Wideman Road, the beautiful fountain greets you for the 22-acre campus. Full range of senior living, independent living at the Villa Estate, skilled nursing, memory care, they have it all. Spacious dining room, salon, transportation around town, exercise and pool, private rooms, hands-on care. You're not a resident of Marie Davila, you are considered a guest. Fred and Mary Kay Weezahan and their sons live on site. It is family run and it has that family feel. You've heard Tony and I talk about how this was home for the legendary Red Shandings for many years. He was also on the board and helped the original owners start Marie Davila back in 1960. MarieDavila.com. We suggest you go online and schedule a tour. Less than an hour from St. Louis, it's Greenville University. Founded in 1892, this liberal arts institution offers pre-med, offers online student involvement. Yeah, that's right. They'll get involved in local businesses, immersed in the community. A great little town of Greenville, Illinois, less than an hour from St. Louis if you're looking to get away for college, but maybe don't want to go too far. It's right up the road from St. Louis. Great professors, really a great experience. Kids involved in the athletics, but again, everybody is really immersed in what they're doing on the campus at all times. Greenville.edu for more information about this great institution. All right, a couple of weeks ago, Tony, somebody had written in something. It was loosely about how did the ARF thing begin. They said, you know, we know you love cats, dogs. How did it begin? And I should probably know the answer, but I know it was Oakland and a stray cat is what sort of launched everything.
Well, you know, where it began was marrying Elaine, and, you know, when we were both animal fanatics, and we just, from our, you know, we were married, I can't tell you, she's only 29 years old, but we've been married over 40 years, and because she quit counting, but I keep saying she's my third daughter, and it's hard to deny that, but we have always loved them, and we always support them, and so, you know, we were always supporting nonprofits because they complement the public efforts, and then we had this one incident, and it sounds so much like a Hollywood movie, you got to roll the tape, but truthfully, it was the third year that we were going to be in the World Series, 1990, so there's 37,000 fans in at the Oakland Coliseum, and we're playing the Yankees, which sounds like we made it up, but this feral cat runs out to center field right in the middle of the game. It stops play, panics, can't find its way out through a little hole it came into. It comes into our dugout, and I shut the door, and you know, when the game is over, animal control came and framed for it. Elaine called me, says, hey, what'd you do with the cat? And I said, animal control, says, they're going to kill it because they got no room. And so I called her the first thing in the morning. I called, said, don't kill it. We're coming to get it. And all day long, she went around our, you know, we live in the county about 20 miles east, and couldn't find any place that wasn't jammed. All the ones we supported were all jammed. And that winter, we said, look, maybe we should try and be part of the solution. So we thought we'd do a little something called ARF. And here we're in our 30th year, and it's gone crazy.
And I saw the picture that this will qualify as friends of Tony. There was the grumpy cat has passed, but you actually, so now when there's a celebrity animal, I'm sorry, friends of Tony now includes friends that are celebrity animals, right? You got to meet Grumpy?
Oh, yeah. I met Grumpy, took a picture with it. And it was purring, but it still had that look on his face. It wasn't really happy, but, you know, sweet little thing. I'm sorry to see it go. And no, it's been a wonderful part of our life, and we're all inspired by the work that ARF does. In fact, as soon as we hang up, I'm getting dressed and going over to ARF. I haven't been there in about a month and a half.
ARFLife.org, more information. And for Cardinal fans, or, you know, White Sox fans, A's fans, baseball fans, if you're ever in that area, whether you're working your way up the Napa Valley or just in the Bay Area, make sure you get over there. Is it actually Danville where it's located?
No, Walnut Creek is the hub of our county, and it's in the midst of Walnut Creek in the Shadelands area, which is, it's a beautiful, it's a 10-acre site, by the way. And matter of fact, if anybody shows up in the next year, they'll see the back, they'll see construction, because in the back lot, behind our parking lot that we own, we're building the very first private facility for PTSD veterans to train and be with their dogs.
Well, very cool. And again, if you're in that area, I should know that, Walnut Creek, I'll tell you what, you go by, you see ARF, work your way up to Calistoga, see if Coach Vermeil's hanging out. Emails, TonyTalkQuestions@gmail.com. Communicate with this show. Constructive criticism, questions, TonyTalkQuestions@gmail.com. I always tell Tony like about 1,000 things I'm going to ask him, then I run out of time. We will finish with Redbird Roulette. And these are ones Tony's never prepped for the name I'm going to throw out there. I just get his blink. And I'm bringing up Steve Klein because I got an eight-year-old playing Little League. And these guys, okay, they're still learning. They don't know what the hell they're doing. But their goal every week is to roll around. They got to get dirty. Otherwise, they don't feel like they played. So my son holds up his hat, goes, Dad, my hat is filthy. I said, that's perfect. I said, you're just like Steve Klein. And, of course, he said, who the hell is that? Now, he didn't swear. But what's your blank when I mentioned Steve Klein?
The finger. The finger. Steve Klein is one of our all-time favorites. Just a gutty, get in the dirt, do anything to win competitor. And a tremendous personality, lit the clubhouse up with his nuttiness. But he also, by the way, is nutty enough and loves the game enough that when he retired, he's coaching. Last time I heard, he's with the Giants, which I really like the fact that he's continuing to stay in the game he loves. But he was a wrestler in high school, you know, and he was just, you know, he was real basic. And I think our fans remember playing the Cubs. I didn't bring him in the game. He thought he was coming in. We ended up winning the game. I brought him in the ninth inning. You know, I didn't bring him in the eighth. I brought him in the ninth. He pitches three outs. I don't know anything. We hit a home run to win the game, and or win the game somehow. And then everybody's celebrating, and I'm here going to do the press thing. They say, well, what about Clive? Oh, yeah, winning pitcher. What a great win. Beat the Cubs. They said, no, but when the thing he did when you didn't bring him in. I said, what are you talking about? He said, he gave you the finger. And I stopped the they probably got it on tape. I stopped the interview right there and went in, because we were doing it in the hallway in those days, the old ballpark, and I went in the closet. I said, well, where's him? I'm yelling, where's Klein? He said, taking a shower. So I walked into the shower with my clothes on, and there's Steve. And, I mean, I just confirmed. I said, did you give me the finger? And he gives me, you know, that little smile. You know, yeah, I did. He said, you know, give me a finger. And I started to break it. And, I just started chewing him out right there. And the guys are laughing. And then when I looked at it, I said, man, here I am getting drenched. You know, so it is funny. We won the game. I says, I'll talk about it later with you. So from then on, whenever we were at a team function and I was introducing players, I always introduced them as Steve, the finger, Klein.
The guys are laughing, but at that moment, and it was summer of 2004, you were mad, though, weren't you, when you heard that?
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, I was in there yelling at him. And, you know, what would you do? You know, you don't want disrespect like that. You know, next time you hang a slider, you want me jumping out of the dugout and just screaming at you for making – I said, first of all, remember, I got the office, you got the locker. You pitch, I manage. And then I'm looking around and then realized I'm getting soaked, and the guys in the shower are all laughing. I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute, you know, this we did win the game. Enjoy the moment. I just looked at him. I said, you know, give me that finger. I want to break it. And they all left.
What a nut. All right, Redbird Roulette, part of the fun every week with Tony. Again, communicate with us, TonyTalk.questions@gmail.com. Remember to subscribe either on Google or iTunes. That way it is delivered directly to you. Again, it's presented by Victory Men's Health. More on the web at victorymenshealth.com. Our good friends, Jim Regna at Triad Bank, Greenville University, and Marie Davila Senior Living, located in beautiful West County, right there at the corner of Clayton and Weidman Road. Tony, great visit. We will do it again next week.
You got to get more spots so we can do more time, man. I got a lot more to say. Let's go.